minutes past four. We're going to just call this meeting to order. We'll wait to vote on the adoption of the minutes until we have a quorum.
Thank you.
I want to introduce to you Jane Armstrong, who at this point is the Delaware District Director of the Small Business Association.
Administration.
Administration. Sorry about that. Prior to working in Delaware, she was the district director in West Virginia, and prior to that, she worked in advertising, high-tech economic development, and higher education development fields. Today, she's going to just kind of give us an overview of what small business, what SBA does within this district. Jane?
Okay. Thank you, and I apologize to correct you on that, but it's an important clarification.
Can I interrupt you 1 second? I'm sorry, we just want to do attendance.
Sure.
We have with us Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Bell, Cartier, President Kovac, and Councilman Retta, and myself.
Right. I apologize for correcting you on that, but it is an important distinction because we don't want to be confused as a Chamber of Commerce or anything like that because we are a federal agency. I just want to give you a little bit of an overview. So often people think about large corporations, that they're so big and there's such a distinction with small businesses. And the reality is that every corporation got their start as a small business, and often in a garage or around a kitchen table. And a lot of our big success stories actually got started that way. A couple interesting backgrounds here. Under Armour, Kevin Plank, just started down the road in College Park, Maryland. Started with a $100,000 SBA loan. He's making a lot more than $100,000 these days, needless to say. SBA financing, financed the Intel microprocessor back in the late 60s. Today, Intel pays more in federal taxes than SBA's operating budget. You can't say that about a lot of federal agencies out there. Nike got their very first start. If you know the story, that they were selling shoes in the back of his car at University of Oregon track meets. Very first inventory developed with a $330,000 SBA loan. That's really what our role is, that we help entrepreneurs start, build, and grow their businesses, and then we get out of the way. Hopefully they outgrow us and they don't need us. That's one aspect, the gazelles. And then the other businesses that we really work with are the mom-and-pop businesses, the ones that really aren't going to grow beyond or be the tomorrow's Intel and everything, but they need our help. A lot of local businesses, whether they're mom-and-pop retailers or local manufacturers, that they might not grow beyond 100 employees. So that's really what we do at the SBA. Sorry about this. Two companies that we just recently recognized, SBA recognized 100 companies nationwide to demonstrate how small businesses are really where the job creation is in America. And we recognize 100 companies that, since they got SBA help, added at least 100 or more jobs. We recognize Iron Hill Brewery, first two locations, now they're up to 13, where SBA loans and Dogfish Head. We kid around, we call ourselves the Small Brewery Administration behind the scenes, but that it's not how we want Congress to know us by. There's four areas that we really focus on at the SBA, just to make it very simple: capital, contracting, counseling, and innovation. On the capital side, we do SBA guaranteed loans through the banks. We don't do any direct loans. We have no grants. Everybody that stays up late and watches those infomercials, there's no such thing as a grant to start up a business, and they're all scams at some point. We work very closely with banks, credit unions, and we come in and we guarantee the loans. We're more or less an insurance policy. The bank's still lending the money. We're guaranteeing 75 or 90% of that loan, that if that business would fail after the workout, we're reimbursing the bank whatever that loss is, or 75 or 90% of that. So we're making it more possible for the banks to get behind small businesses that otherwise they may not. Contracting, we have some different set-aside programs at the SBA, certification programs. A lot of people like to try to make some things controversial. The reality is, when you look across the board, women, minorities, and veterans are getting a very, very tiny percentage of federal contracts, at less than 5%. So we're trying to increase those numbers and increase participation and level the playing field. One of the things that we've really been focusing on to get more of our businesses into Aberdeen is to get them to team on contracts. They're not going to get in on their own, and they need to really work and develop a teaming relationship with other businesses so that we can get more contracts at the federal level. Consulting. We have a network of partners that we fund. Small Business Technology Development Center, the SCORE program, retired executives. We have a Women's Business Center at the YWCA, the Delaware Center for Women's Entrepreneurship. Those three programs, we consider the counseling and training arms of the SBA. We provide the base federal funding, and then they have to match it dollar for dollar. So that part of that match comes in with state funding through DEDO. The county, I think, still supports the SBTDC program and SCORE, maybe. And private sector and the university. Technically, the SBTDCs are all university-based, but we're paying their salaries. Okay. So it's really a partnership of all these resources coming together so that we can help businesses, whether it's help with a business plan, help with cash flow analysis, anything that they might need. We provide free one-on-one counseling and then training at a nominal cost to help businesses. And then we also have 19 U.S. Export Assistance Centers around the country that help small businesses. It's a collaboration with our partners at U.S. Department of Commerce and Ex-Im Import Bank, which President Obama has announced that he's trying to merge six of our agencies together. Right now, it's just a proposal, and we don't know how it's going to be structured. SBA has been elevated back to cabinet-level status, but we're not going to be merged under Commerce, hopefully. We're going to be two separate agencies and both be cabinet-level status, but we're not sure how that structure is going to be yet until he gets the authority from Congress. Innovation, we have the Small Business Innovation Research Program. I lied a little bit earlier. We do have one grant program, and that is, but it's more specialized. That's to help somebody when they have an idea that meets a federal agency's need or on the research side. We help that small business owner take a product from the concept stage to the marketplace. Best example, NASA. The foam that was used for the space shuttle is Tempur-Pedic and all these other products that came out of that. That was all commercialized, but initially it met the research needs that NASA needed. And so we have that program. And then we bring in our venture capital program in the later stages to help them to commercialize and get the funding there. We also have an Office of Advocacy, and that's actually where I got my start in the SBA, organizing the White House Conference on Small Business and the National Ombudsman's Office. And they're kind of a neutral organization that kind of fight on behalf of small business, fight or take on the government to support small business needs. It's a great organization. Okay, and we have a lot of different loan programs. This is more geared towards the banks and some different things, but we have there are just two sections of the Small Business Act, two main programs, 7A and 504. 504, we do a lot of commercial real estate, and that's where we come in. And right now, we got a refi program under our commercial real estate. It's through the end of the fiscal year, September 30th for us. And so we're helping a lot of small business owners with non-SBA commercial real estate, just refinancing some of those properties right now. 504, we do a lot of heavy equipment, and 7A, we do a little bit of everything, and we have some specialized programs under there. Basically, our lending can go from a couple thousand dollars up to multi-million. The max for SBA portion is $5 million, but we can go up and we can be $5 million as part of a much bigger deal. You know, that there might be some private sector and some other funding involved. I do want to mention this. It's fortunately, knock on wood, I don't know if this is really wood, but we've been very lucky in Delaware, but at some point we're not going to be, and we need to really get our act together on disaster preparedness. We're not prepared, and it really scares me. I've unfortunately been part of 14 different disasters, and we really got to get all levels of government working together when we do have a disaster. And we are the disaster bank in that situation. After FEMA and Red Cross do the initial emergency part of it, we come in and we help with the rebuilding. And that's where we can go beyond small businesses. We can go nonprofits, homeowners, renters, a little bit of everything to help people get back on their feet. Low interest loans, of course. Right now, we have a special project. President Obama has asked the federal government to set a goal of doubling small business exports within the next 10 years. We really need some help here in Delaware with this, but we have $90 million, and they're just basically a pass-through program, but what we're trying to do is hold states accountable and try to get some creative ideas for how they're going to expand small business exporting in their states. Our state put in a proposal, $250,000 that they're getting the first year. It's a three-year funded program, and they're concentrating on China and Brazil is where they want to target, and we're funding some small businesses to go over on trade missions and trying to open up the doors so that we can get more exports happening. We're already through the process and in the final stages of selecting those businesses. I want to just share what are some of our priorities at SBA and what we're trying to do here. You know, I mentioned the infrastructure that we have, our resource partners and everything. We have 68 district offices around the country. Most states just have one SBA office. And then, you know, you get into California and Texas and some of those big states, they have five or six, so it kind of throws the numbers off. Our role, we really work very closely with the typical economic development model is you really start with federal resources and leverage it down and get everybody working together from all levels of government, the academia, private sector, small business industry, everybody kind of working together. One of the things, because I've been very outspoken, and I think a lot of people have known that I've gotten kind of a reputation for that a little bit, but I don't really care because all I care about is small businesses and trying to get more opportunities for them. Okay, this is where Jane goes unplugged. Carl, you're laughing. But we need more of an infrastructure to support small business. We need to really wake up and realize that we have an economic development infrastructure in this state that is really geared towards the corporate economy and not towards small businesses. And I'm not talking bigger government, more programs, but just government working smarter, government working together, all the different levels of government, and getting more programming out there for small businesses. I really do applaud. I mean, I've been a big advocate for this for 12 years. I'm leaving in 2 weeks to transfer to Richmond, Virginia, and it's been no secret. I've been a little frustrated, and so I'm really applaud the county executive for coming out with some of the initiatives that he did, because those are the things that we have been missing, and they're desperately needed here in Delaware. And I'd love to see more of that local levels and at state level as well. So we've been a very strong, very outspoken about it at the SBA that we'd like to see more things to work with. We should be one piece of the puzzle, and unfortunately, we've been too big of a piece of the puzzle, and it's not a healthy setup, if you will, if we're going to support small businesses as adequately as we need to. Exporting, I already talked about. Manufacturing, and we're also on the exporting side. We got one big ace in the hole. We have a senator who's on the Foreign Relations Committee. We need to take advantage of that. That ties in directly to exporting to small businesses, and we can't lose that connection and not leverage that to help on the small business development side. Manufacturing, we are, Carl, we've worked with Carl and we've worked with his counterparts in the other two counties. We're working very closely with the Delaware Manufacturing Extension Partnership. If you don't know the background of our office, we were the last state in the country to get an SBA district office. Congress upgraded us. I came in with the upgrade 12 years ago. We unfortunately weren't able to hire right away, and we went many, many years with only three of us in our office, and I was doing seven or eight different jobs. And just in the last 4 years, we've been able to hire and build this team. And we've built a lot of people, or built our team from the private sector primarily. My last two hires came from the beer industry. And we kid about that, but I mean, they were aggressive sales and marketing backgrounds working for Yingling and Miller Coors and everything. So, and I'm sorry, you have a question?
Can we let her finish the presentation and then we'll take
I'm just close to finish. I apologize. But anyhow, so we have one of our new guys that we just hired, we brought in, he's out visiting, in addition to his other duties, he's going out visiting about 8 to 12 manufacturers a week, going out touring their businesses, getting to a feel for what their needs are. We're finding a lot of them have been isolated. They don't realize they're exporting and that they can qualify for some export resources. We're finding a lot of contracting opportunities there. And so we're really aggressively trying to get out there. Lending, that has been tough. You know, a lot of things really contracted here at the beginning when the economy really went south. And we have some new lenders in town. That's definitely been good because they were SBA's top lenders around the country, or around the country, came into our market, and I think shook a lot of things up. We've also been going after credit unions. We've been spending a lot of time recruiting credit unions. The reality is a lot of the bigger deals, a lot of the local banks are doing a lot of bigger deals, and we see credit unions as a niche to come in and do smaller loans, which can't be ignored. That there's a lot of small businesses that just need $20,000, $30,000 loans. And if we don't have those lenders out there doing it, that's what we're missing at the state and local levels, not having those smaller loan programs. They've really hurt us. And so we're trying to get more credit unions engaged in SBA lending. By law, they're only allowed to lend out 12% of their assets, and we have smaller credit unions here by industry standards. So their niche is going to be the smaller loans under $100,000, and that's an important part for us to cultivate so we have more of an infrastructure for our businesses. And then Aberdeen. You know, we're working very closely trying to take advantage of Aberdeen and the contracting opportunities that are down there. So that kind of gives you a short overview of what we're doing at the SBA. I mean, there's so much more. When you peel back the layers, there's so much that we do. We have a very small staff of 8 people. We have one more vacant position after mine is filled, and then we'll be a complete staff. But we're out there doing a lot of different things. We're probably the most visible group out there in the state because it's whether it's veterans, and we're down at Dover Air Force Base 3 times a month doing workshops. We're out there with the National Guard, the homecoming committees, every women's business groups, every chamber in the state. Every organization you can imagine, we're out there at. And a lot of times people just see us at the one or something that they're going to, and they don't realize that we're, you know, most nights we're out 4 nights a week and 2 or 3 weekends a month, so going out to events. So, you know, it's more just marketing and outreach, making awareness of what our programs are, and then we have the centralized functions for the loan processing and the servicing.
I want to thank you for your presentation. Just if you'll hold on just one second, a little housekeeping. We were joined by Councilperson Street, Tackett, and Powers during the presentation. And if you will entertain questions, I know that we have a couple. Councilman Powers, and then Councilman Retta.
Yes, I've got a couple questions. I have Southern New Castle County, indoor rural. Rural area. My district is Southern Newcastle County, and you know, working a lot with rural development, you know, through their
USDA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would that tie in with something with you
there's
all?
There's some overlap. I mean, as far as areas, I mean, there's some industries that, you know, that we just yield that it's more geared towards USDA, but we work very closely together. We just did some chicken houses here that we just financed here recently. So there's some different overlap and some things, especially like if you're down in Middletown and some, you know, southern part of the counties. When you get into the southern part of the state, there's clearly some things that are strictly USDA. But we have different, our programs are a little different too. They can do bigger deals and they have, they're funded differently. We have an unlimited funding source, if you will, where it's on a first come, first served. We leverage our lending. We have a zero subsidy rate. And we have fees for our programs that pay for our programs themselves. So we don't get the congressional subsidy anymore, whereas they do, and they might run out of money at different stages in the year. We've kind of moved away from that model. And they also do a lot of grants, like community development grants or
or things. And a lot of them overlap with some of our resource partners. Like they might have some community development type initiatives that they're doing at our Small Business Development Center or SCORE.
Because part of my district is Middletown.
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of loans in Middletown.
But some of the rural areas, you know, with cottage industry, say it's on a farm and they're doing another industry. Now, would that fall into...
More to USDA out of respect for them. And then if it's something that they can't do, I mean, we just kind of collaborate back and forth when it's clearly...
Because a lot of their loans are just back loans. It's through the bank, farm credit, and then they're guaranteeing.
Right, just like we are. Yeah, we don't have
any direct loans. So you're exactly the same.
Yeah, we only do government guarantees.
And that's why, I mean, I understand that program real well. The other thing is, you said the infrastructure. What infrastructure are you saying we're missing?
More of an ecosystem. Programming at the, like loan programs, incentives, tax incentives for small businesses, training programs for small businesses that most states have that we don't. And when I say states, I'm not talking state government per se. I'm talking this whole state. We're missing. We don't have hardly anything that other
states
have.
You're saying tax incentives more.
Yeah, it could
which
be
wouldn't
like
be
that.
Us, if, but if it would be more for small businesses where we're giving it more to the larger businesses, not
right,
as much.
Right, there's more geared towards corporations.
And I would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of times people don't realize what we're missing unless you've worked in other states. And I had a rude awakening when I moved here from West Virginia. I'll be very honest. There was so much more there for small businesses, but it could be like, say in Middletown, just as an example, it could be a tax incentive or some type of an incentive to move into the city, or maybe a facade low interest or grant program.
You're saying with the town itself.
For the town itself,
now,
right?
See, the town.
We have nothing at the municipality
now,
end.
Now, what, just with Middletown and the businesses that they've gotten recently, they're giving 10 years tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the county gives 10 years tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get anything back. The difference in Middletown is they sell them the water, they sell them the electric.
Mm-hmm.
They will make it up on the utilities that they sell.
Okay.
To anybody in the town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is in my district, which is good for the town. But it's kind of hard when the county gives up, when the state gives it something away, they get it in payroll tax.
Mm-hmm.
The county gives it away, we don't get anything back. We're not in
And I'm not putting this on the county's,
I know,
at the county's feet. I'm just looking at it from the bigger picture standpoint that, you know, I think a lot of municipalities, they don't have anything. I mean, for small businesses, if you're a startup small business coming into the city of Wilmington, what are you going to get?
Well, Middletown's been doing.
Or you know, I mean, there's some different things, but some of the training programs are very different from some different incentives.
My district takes in Middletown, Townsend, Smyrna, and Clayton.
Yeah.
You know, that are in Newcastle County.
And there's a lot of growth happening in that area.
Yeah. And jobs, which is good.
They are
working on the Amazon. Last night, they're working 24/7.
Right.
They got lights up.
And hopefully, we can get some small businesses that offset that. That they get the. But I mean, the reality is that's going to Amazon. But what about the small businesses?
Right.
Councilman Redding.
Thank you. You mentioned up there in your slide a 504 loan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a bank loan?
They're all, that is how it's structured. It's three partners. The bank comes in at 50%, SBA debenture at 40% through what we call certified development companies. Delaware Community Development Corporation, WEDCO is their other trade name, would be an example. They'll do a 40% debenture, and that's a typical setup. Business owner only comes in at 10%. If they went to a bank and try to get a commercial loan for real estate, they're going to be looking right now about 30%. They're going to ask them for 30% injection. With this program, we can get them 10% in. They can use that other 20% for the business operations. And so it's really to their advantage. Plus, they can go out fixed rate financing, really low interest, for 20 years. Right now, it's about 4.5 for 4.5. Seven?
20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
Okay, you're the head person of the small business in the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
How can they just sit there and say that small business gets $90 million for loans when the banks got billions a couple of years ago?
That was the step. Yeah, that was the step thing.
A couple of years ago, they got billions and never gave them, never give any loans out to small businesses or anybody. They're holding the loans.
Yeah.
What? How does that equate? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. What does your head person do about
this? They're working on it. I mean, you know, this is more of a congressional delegation question or something for the administration, but they are working on it and trying to get the banks to loosen up. I mean, it was really tough there for a couple of years, especially here in Delaware. That's where we were thinking outside the box. We were, you know, I don't care if it's a neighborhood bank. I want to get the money on the street for small businesses. So
I know people are out of business.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get a loan.
Yeah, so we were really worked it. I mean, but at the end of the day, we only guarantee loans. Banks have to lend the money up front before we can come in and guarantee it. And if the bank's not lending, I mean, the good news is we have a very experienced bank like M&T coming in that's SBA's top lender in every market they're in, which was probably the best thing for our market, to be quite honest. When we realized about a year out from what happened with the sale, that they were getting ready to be sold, we looked at all the scenarios, and that was the best scenario that we kept coming back to it and saying that was
going
to. But that's why we've kind of gone and we've tried to think outside the box at the local level, trying to get more credit unions involved. And when I say about the infrastructure, what I'm talking about, what's really missing, when you look at all the initiatives that have come out of the Small Business Jobs Act and the follow-on legislation and everything, so much of it is being geared towards programs that are in the Treasury Department, the what they call CDFIs, Community Development Financial Institutions. We have three in Delaware, two focus on only housing. One, First State Community Loan Fund, is the only one that focuses on you know, where they could do small business lending. They need collateral for those loans, right? We don't, this is where I'm saying we're missing this infrastructure, because the other states are light years ahead of us because they have this infrastructure. They had all these CDFIs and they have all these microloans that they can turn to. My concern is if, you know, a lot of businesses won't qualify for conventional financing or SBA financing in the first couple years maybe because they don't have, we're a cash flow lender, they don't have, so where do they get the funding? And if they're not getting funded the right way and adequately in the first couple years, they're never going to make it to that stage to work with SBA or to work with or to get conventional financing. And that's where my concern is, because we don't have those CDFI programs and other things. And that's where we got to, you know, try to pull in some of these microloan funds and get some of these initiatives at the local levels.
Well, just to say one thing on that, that Councilman Powers said, you know, as far as the infrastructure goes, and that a lot of your other states and counties in different states, they get money from taxes that they can do that with. We don't.
Yeah.
The way ours is set up is completely different. The other question I want to ask is about manufacturing initiative. How would you get a person to do some manufacturing here, or tell the banks that this company can make the product here instead of going over to China like these other people are doing and bringing it in?
I mean, we work with U.S.-based companies. I mean, we don't get into the policy side of it on whether they're sending anything overseas or anything
like that. Well, I mean, the only reason why I asked that question is because I know some people that aren't citizens,
but they can't work with
us. They live here, and they want to start a manufacturing here, and their product that they want to do, they can go to China, and it'll cost them 5 cents a piece of that product, like a tissue, cheaper in China. But they don't want to fool with the import and pay and do all the taxes and everything that they have to come in here with it. They said they'd rather do it here.
Okay. But, what? I mean, we're the U.S. Small Business Administration, so you have to be a U.S. citizen or have the... they can have permanent green card status and be on their final stages to become a U.S. citizen in some cases and qualify for SBA financing. But we want to make sure that the collateral's here and that the operations are here so that somebody just doesn't pick up overnight and shift everything over to China, and then the governments or the taxpayers are out of resources and out of money. You know what I mean? That we're kind of stuck with the...
Isn't that almost the same thing that you just talked about, incentives on the tax incentives?
In
the infrastructure?
Way?
That this SBA should be doing something in that aspect, though, where maybe somebody from overseas will come over here and start a business, even though they're not citizens?
Well, we wouldn't. There's laws against that. We can't do that.
ING is not, they're not
right.
citizens, the owners.
Right.
And they've been here for years.
They have a structure. If they got into SBA lending as a bank, they could do SBA lending because of how they're structured with their, well, I don't know now with the Capital One situation, but they have the U.S. entity that they're, you know, just like Citizens Bank is part of Royal Bank of Scotland, but Citizens Bank can do SBA lending because
right.
they're a U.S.-based company, how they're structured. But we don't, I mean, we're just looking at it. We don't get into the policy side. That's really for the politicians to decide on the overseas part of it and everything. And you know, you have some other federal agencies too. But in our case, working with small businesses, I mean, we do have some restrictions on that they have to be U.S.-based and the collateral has to be here. I mean, we had somebody, had a great product a couple of years ago, but they had the collateral, the molds for the business and everything were going to be over in Bulgaria. Well, we can't do that. You know, we are trying to help a lot of our manufacturers get more engaged and everything. And we got a lot of strong manufacturers around here. And Carl, we've been working very closely together. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities, I think, here. But some of them have been really trying to just stay afloat and haven't really had time to engage and to learn what resources are out there, to be quite honest. They're just really trying to, you know, just stick with it and you know, put the food on the table for their family or their employees' families and everything. And so they just haven't, they unfortunately didn't realize some of these resources were available. So I think this initiative is starting to open that up a little bit, where we're a little more aggressive in taking our marketing and outreach and applying it to that sector in particular.
Councilman Cardi?
You know, I want to make some big broad points and then go back to a detailed issue. Number one, you know, I think it's very important for Newcastle County Council to get involved in the economic development problem. And I'm glad, you know, we haven't had this committee meet for a long time. I think we need to meet more frequently with topics, action agendas, because I'm going to tell you, you know, up in my area, we're going through a total landmark plant closures. We've lost the ConocoPhillips plant refinery in Trainer. Sunoco, oldest oil refinery in the United States of America, is closing down at the end of this month. And I can tell you there are hundreds of jobs that are being lost between those two plants in the northern Delaware, Brandywine 100 area. So when I hear that, you know, we have this lack of ecosystem to germinate and grow small businesses, we got a real problem. So, you know, I want to learn more about how to do that, how we can get this government involved in that process. I particularly hearken, you know, take a lot of encouragement out of, you know, Jane, you said that the initiatives the county executive has proposed as part
of good.
Growing jobs is
been advocating
good things.
For a long time.
So, I'm glad we're going to bring that to council for a vote in the near term here, but we've got to do more. We've got, you know, this county's going through this massive transition. It was a giant industrial county, the powerhouse of this state in terms of its economic wealth, and you're watching it evaporate in front of us. I know we lost the two car plants. We went through the crisis with the oil refinery in Delaware City. Fortunately, we were able to save that. Now we've got these oil refineries right over the line in Pennsylvania that are going away. And I mean, you can look around and all the old line businesses, your deposit isn't what it used to be. All these things are in decline. The great traditional economic basis of this county and state in decline, going away.
And what is the future? Where are we going? We had a period where we had a lot of the financial services sector growth in that. That seems to have really lost a lot of its luster. So I in wake of this, these plant closures, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, what are we going to be doing in the next 10 years? Where are we going? You know, is Delaware going to be eclipsed as a economic power and kind of become this, like, Rust County is going to become like a rusty county with all these old plants and not a lot of new things going on? We've got to get involved. We've got to understand what the ecosystem of small business, what do we need to do? I want to know substantively. We've got to push the administration to get involved. We've got to get involved with the governor and sit down with them and figure out how we can do this better. Because otherwise, you know, it just, we're looking at chronic poverty. Do you know that we have one quarter of this state practically on Medicaid? Over 200,000 citizens of the state of Delaware are on Medicaid. I mean, that tells you the collapse of the economy in the state of Delaware. So I'm alarmed. I'm glad you're here. I wish you the best in your new transition and going to Richmond. But whoever your replacement is, we need to have them engage with county council and the issue of how we're going to create a new economy for the future here, because it's a big task and we've got a lot of work to do. And I'm not happy that we don't do enough for small businesses.
I just think that we just work in silos, and we got to break. We got to stop that. You know, right. We have an inverse economic development model than from most states I've ever worked in, and usually you start with federal resource and you leverage, you know, like EDA funding for infrastructure, SBA, whatever, commerce, and you leverage it, and everybody's kind of working together. But my experience has been we work from local government, county to state, and then we stop. And we just don't tap in. We're leaving so many federal resources on the table, and it's sad. It's really sad. I mean, I've just had to work 10 times as hard to in this market than any other market I've ever worked in, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, I grew up in Pittsburgh where the steel industry just left. You know, my childhood was everything was the steel industry, and it left overnight. And they had to reinvent themselves, and it wasn't easy. And they went through two renaissances, but everybody really pulled together, and they reinvented. That is no longer a steel town at all. I mean, but it took a long time. But I think we've just been so fortunate here because we had the corporations and the credit card industry that we've kind of coasted with the economic development policy. And I'm talking the whole all of us, and we've been very, very lucky. But we need to pull together now and to really get everything working together so that we can define what we want to be when we grow up and what's the next generation. And when you're looking at small business, and I interchange ecosystem and infrastructure. When I talk infrastructure, so often people think you want all these new programs. It's not like that. I mean, it's just a smarter way to work and getting everything leveraged and actually saving a lot of money by leveraging those resources between all the levels of government. So,
Councilman Bell and then Powers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sitting here listening, I mean, we could probably kind of go out into different areas and everything, and I think Councilman Cartier brings a lot of valid points. However, I think some of the initiatives on the part of state and local government to kickstart you know, the refinery, Delaware City Refinery, helps small business. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the folks that are going to work there or maybe working in Amazon in Middletown, are a lot of those folks are going to turn around and shop at the local supermarket, or they're going to turn around and go to the local barber shop or the sub shop and things of that nature. So I think it's a partnership. It's a partnership of not only taking a look at who's left us and how do we kind of instill that or re-energize that. You know, I think it's a thing of the county being ready. And right now, when it comes to economic development and having properties ready, even for economic development, we fell behind. Middletown gets it. Mm-hmm. Middletown has taken areas, designated them, has them zoned properly, and has them shovel ready. And the problem out in the county is that to attract businesses, and larger businesses like Bloom and others to come here to get established here, that maybe smaller business could help support and everything, our rezoning process takes upwards of 2 years, if not longer. So, and I submitted in our comprehensive plan, we've got to take areas, growth areas, such as South and Canal and the Central Core. We've got to work closely with the Delaware Economic Development, with the state strategies, the county strategies, and we've got to identify areas that could be identified for future growth, economic growth, be it larger and small business, and have them to where they're pretty close to being shovel ready. When businesses want to come, a lot of times they're looking for a place, they may like the place, but if it's going to take them a year or two to get an approval, they're going to look elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is what Middletown has done. Middletown has been very creative, very smart in the fact that they've got a West Town area, they've got an East Town area, they still have their developed area, but what they've done is they've identified areas that are shovel ready, that are zoned properly, mm-hmm. and that's why Amazon, Johnson Control, Christiana Medical, Health South are all going to Middletown. Mm-hmm. And the smaller business, in my mind, when you lose something like Valero, okay, which is now the Delaware City Refinery, a lot of the folks in the town and the neighboring areas, the, everything from the gas station, like I say, to the sub shop, the local tradespeople, they all feel the pain. Mm-hmm. So we've got. I think it's an effort that's got to be in concert with one another, but at the same time, encourage small business to not only start, but we've got to try to get them involved. There's been businesses that have been built or rebuilt in this county, and all the folks that supported them were from out of state. That is wrong, dead wrong. Mm-hmm. We should be trying to reach out to our local businesses, encouraging people that are coming here to reach out to our local businesses and bring them to help so that they have the jobs and everything else. But I appreciate the presentation. I think it's a great meeting, and we do have a lot of work to do. But we also have to be very proactive, I think, in not only responsible growth, but having areas defined and ready to go. And, and in some cases, we've been asleep at the wheel. And that's why Middletown, I think, has been so successful in bringing businesses here.
Well, and I think we got to be careful with the tax incentives, too, that we give, mm-hmm. that we have to hold some of these businesses accountable. And we don't want, like, a Bank of America situation. I'm so encouraged by the contribution last week, but the one thing that they said was, what's going to happen to us? Where's the cafeteria going? And Chip Rossi said, there's all these wonderful small businesses out here. We're going to have a taste of Wilmington come in, mm-hmm. and show you. That's been missing, because what's yep. happened is so many of these corporations came in, they built a compound, mm-hmm. and they hired their own employees, and they're not supporting the downtown businesses. Right. And that's where the downtown businesses, the mom and pops, have really hurt. Right. You know, that nobody's out shopping, supporting yeah. them for lunch or mm-hmm. buying from the bookstore. Or
and some see, of those I think things. I think when you look at Middletown, yeah. and it is a model. Mm-hmm. If you look at Middletown, you look at the mayor, you look at the council there, and what they've done is the folks are working in the Kohl's and the different places here, but they go next door to the sub shop. So there's a lot of things around there.
Yeah.
Somebody stops at the barbershop, they go over to Carl King and they get tires put on while they're at work. You know,
yeah.
so there's a lot to be done.
Oh,
I agree.
To support
small business.
Absolutely. So thank you so much. Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. So she's. I'm the next.
She said.
You're in a flight pattern.
One thing you did say, and I know talking to small businesses, what really hurt existing were the banks. I had one small business that had a rolling line of credit of 150, was only used in 75, got ran into this economic, went to get the other 75, and they said, no, you haven't used it, you lost it. Well, who ended up coming through for them mm-hmm. was a smaller bank, local bank, which was Wyoming Bank, mm-hmm. That ended up giving them the credit line. But this was a national bank that really, more or less, he'd never not paid them.
Hmm.
And he had six employees and dropped it down yeah. to three because he just couldn't
do what he was, and he said, I got plenty of work to do, but I can't get the money. The bank cut me off.
You talk to the banks, they'll say SBA comes in the front door, lend. We walk out the front door, and then the FDIC and the Federal Reserve, everybody comes in the back door, you know, be careful. You have to, you know, they put all these restrictions on. But, so we've been trying to work more closely with the two. I mean, it is a much bigger problem than all of us.
I can tell you, I have some commercial loans.
Yeah.
And they're now, mine right now are with Wyoming Bank. Mm. But you're dealing directly with people that are within this state.
They hired one of our top lenders, the individual lenders from Wilmington Trust, and he is now doing a lot of small business lending. But, and we're real excited about, First National Bank
of Wyoming. But they were doing that before.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the bigger you get, the worse it gets sometimes, it seems like.
So we're, you know, it's just, there's some trends right now going on that a lot of small businesses are turning to credit unions, for example, and credit unions and community banks, but we don't have a lot of community banks.
No.
And our credit unions, same thing. And our so what we've been trying to do is getting creative, and we've been trying to bring in, and, you know, I'm not going to mention the banks that are doing it because they might not want people to know that they're doing it, but leveraging that they, so they don't have to have the whole, the whole ecosystem in place within their bank. A lot of them are leveraging, just like the credit unions do, they have what they call CUSO model, credit union servicing organization. Their whole backroom operations are actually done somewhere else because they're very new to commercial lending. And so they might have one person who's a lender that does their stuff, but then all the underwriting and servicing is done by a credit union servicing organization off-site. And same with a lot of community banks, that they have a lot of these models going on. We've been really creative bringing in some people from media and from Indianapolis. We don't have these organizations here in Delaware, but we got it. You know, we're leveraging these resources so that we can get some of our smaller banks lending so they get more money on the street for small businesses and to you know, just think outside the box so that we can help our businesses. It's been a struggle.
Getting the money.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times, too, I mean, we've been thrown under the bus so much in this economy because so many banks, I mean, we've streamlined a lot of our programs and everything, but too often we'll hear, it'll take forever to get an SBA loan, and it's so much paperwork. And it's really, their preferred lender telling you that. SBA is not involved in the process at all. It's their own, you know, and it's still at their bank waiting on a decision, and they're blaming it on us, and we're not even going to be involved in the entire process. So it's kind of interesting, but we have so many banks that have restricted lists right now, too, that they're not touching this industry or they're not touching this industry. So we really encourage the business owners, contact us because we know who's lending to who. This bank's not touching a startup. This bank isn't touching a restaurant. Or we've had, even through this whole cycle, we've had every bank have a different policy on contractors. One bank wouldn't touch a contractor unless they've been in business for 10 years. And a lot of them weren't touching contractors at all. Now, they might go out and do advertising that we're doing all this small business lending. We know really what's going on behind the scenes and who's doing what. I mean, they're not doing anything illegal per se, but they just have restricted because they have so many restaurants in their portfolio or so many hotels or whatever that they're not lending to that particular industry right now. So,
and that's interesting because we hear that from the developers that come before us, because with council, land use is obviously a lot of what we do. And many of the builders are saying, even though we're getting a rezoning or we're getting permission, it's really not going to matter because no matter what they're advertising, they're not giving us money.
Yeah.
Unless it's a rental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we don't do, I mean, it has to be owner-occupied for us to, or majority owner.
But I mean, they can build properties to rent them out.
Yeah. And so we can't finance that. So, because it's on our, it's one of the few restricted types of loans that we can't do in speculative real estate. So, I don't know. It's coming around. It's getting better than it was like a year ago or 2 years ago, but we're not anywhere near, you know, our lending is up this year, which is kind of an encouragement, but we're nowhere near our previous levels that we saw.
If the dollar can stay low, we'll be all right on exporting.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing behind the scenes. We don't have any media here, do we? The real reason why they're not lending, we use a lower interest rate. We use the Wall Street Journal Prime of 3.5 to 5. The banks, a lot of our local banks, start at 4.0. So they, the industry always lobbies Congress trying to get rid of SBA loan limits because they want to be able to charge whatever they want to on small business loans. We set a maximum that they can't charge above 2.25 or 2.75 above prime. That's congressional. That's by statute, depending on which loan program and what industry and different things. If it's a riskier industry, they're going to charge the most they can. So the banks always will complain behind the scenes they can't make any money off of SBA loans because we started the lower, you know what I mean? If they can make more money off of small business loans, they'd be doing a lot more. That's the bottom line. If you really want to know the truth, why there's not a lot of lending going on right now. But we're, you know, some of this stuff with the local and the out-of-state, we have a lot of smaller community banks right over the border in Delaware County and Chester County that are doing a lot of lending down here. I don't want to, that's nothing to sneeze at. If they're going to help our businesses, and if it wakes our banks up a little bit, and, you know, most of the local banks that you think are actually lending here, their loan decisions are made out of state. And people just don't realize to what degree they are, you know.
We lost a lot of our local banking.
There's no such thing. I mean, there's not as much anymore, except if you go the community bank or credit union route. And we're still working the credit unions. But to be honest, if they're not doing a higher volume of loans, it's a little bit more painful because every time they go to do a loan, you got to do the whole, you know, it's like a lot of hand-holding, and it takes longer. And the banks that are more familiar with it,
meaning the bank.
Mr. Rowe, you're the only public person here. Did you want to comment or ask a question?
No, I'm learning.
Okay. So we're still working it, and we're trying to hold some of these banks accountable too, and as much as we can. But you know, we're kind of, your hands are kind of tied in some ways too. But I think we are starting to come out of it a little bit. I mean, it seems like it, but we just don't have the hard part is the startup. We just don't see the startups that other states are seeing, and that's where I'm kind of concerned because we're falling a little bit behind some other states in our region. But when we had the same cycle in the 90s, remember everybody walked out with severance packages and some money that they could put in to start up a business. Everybody's walking away now with nothing, and they're very scared of what's right around the corner. Right. And the confidence level isn't there to really, and if they're coming out of corporate America, a lot of times, we saw this particularly here, everybody, you know, they're coming out again with a corporate and they're used to working with other people's money. It's a far different game when you're working with your own family's livelihood and putting it on the line. And sometimes we have to spend a lot more time educating them that it's not like it's going to be when you were working in a large corporation here, you know, where you invested money, but it wasn't your money. So,
well, thank you so
much. I appreciate
it. And we certainly
thank you.
Look forward
to you.
We appreciate it very much.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yes.
My arms, I don't know if they're that long. Thank you. Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Good seeing you. Take care.
Just to go back through some housekeeping, we have obviously not a quorum at the moment, but we have what were the minutes from October, which we assume is when the last meeting was, October 2010. So I think at the next meeting we will have minutes. I think we probably need to start with a clean slate. This the minutes that we have were really about the electronic documents, so probably a ways off from where we believe that we're going with this subcommittee. Public comment? No?
Thanks.
Okay.
You don't have anything to say?
Good meeting.
Yes.
Well, we can't even vote on that.
Just
adjourn. Thank you so much.